Hit Breakfast with Alan and Carly, and all eyes have been on Sydney and Bondi in particular over the weekend after this horrific story of a number of people killed, including the person that was set out, and just absolutely horrific. To give us the latest, Carly.
Yeah, we are joined by 7 News crime reporter Robert Ovadia. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, man, we're okay, but geez, to hear this news over the weekend, just give us the latest. What is going on with this Bondi stabbing?
Well, the shopping centre remains a crime scene, and it's a very extensive crime scene and a complex one too, because it happened over such a vast area, over multiple levels of Westfield Bondi Junction. So that will remain that way. And as floral tributes continue to gather outside Westfield Bondi Junction, there were queues of people just trying to get their cars back from the shopping centre. That had to be facilitated by police last night. So over the coming days, there will be a balance, I guess, of trying to do the forensics and try to investigate the way they can, but also that practical nature of the fact that this is right in the middle of a very busy enclave in Sydney's eastern suburbs too, with a tip of the hat to customers, people who have their cars, and shop owners too.
And as the days go on, we're learning more and more details about the victims. As I understand it, as of now, they've all been identified?
Yeah, yes, they have. They have. And they're all of us. As they always are in terrible times of tragedy like this, there are backstories to every single one of us on the planet. And it becomes so personal when you learn about these people. Ashley Good, who was a first-time mother, only 38 years old. She's the one who threw her baby to a couple of strangers as she was being stabbed herself to save her baby, who had also been stabbed. Dawn Singleton, vibrant 25-year-old eastern suburbs girl, daughter of media mogul John Singleton. Jade Young, an architect. Faraz Tahir, who's a Pakistani security guard who came here as a refugee, and ultimately he died on what I believe is the first day on the job for him, protecting citizens in his adopted country. So they're horrific stories, the backstories. But when I say they're all of us, we identify with what this is because we all go to the shops.
Yeah.
It's that simple. It was such a mundane activity, going to the shops Saturday afternoon, and all hell breaks loose.
Now, obviously, it's too soon to tell, but the perpetrator has passed away at the scene. Will there be any other repercussions? People are talking about calls for mental health reforms and things like that. Do you think this is a live and learn situation?
It's always a live and learn, but will it be a live and implement your learning? That's the problem. Now, I have covered so many over the years, so many incidents of mentally ill people who murder others, including mentally ill people who murder people they love because they're just out of their mind. Now, I can't presuppose what was in Joel Couchy's mind, but we do know that he suffered schizophrenia. He was diagnosed as mentally ill from the age of 17. He had a fascination with knives. You look at some of his social media posts, he was certainly an odd person too. We're not to know what was going through his mind. We're not to know whether he deliberately targeted women because of some sort of ideology or whether he did it simply because they were softer targets and easier to attack and easier to kill. We don't know what was going through his mind, but we certainly do know that he had years of severe mental illness. That will play a part in this. And when we say live and learn, if something has to be done, it has to be to provide beds for these people. It has to be to provide full-time care. Yeah. And that takes money.
Yeah,
absolutely. Well, for the latest, make sure everyone's paying attention to what's going on 7 News. Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it.
Thanks.